I welcome you, beloved radio friends, to today's broadcast. We are encouraged by your responses. We remain committed to bring impactful messages that will build you up and prepare you for the end time events. Today, I shall be speaking on what is in your hand or what do you have in the house. Our text is from 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. Now, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two sons to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow vessels from everyone, for yourselves, for all your neighbors, do not borrow a few. And when you have come in, you will shut the door behind you and your sons, and you will pour out into all these vessels, and you will set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one vessel left." And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, only you is our Lord. Grant that our understanding will be fruitful as we consider your word and how it applies to us. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. What do you have in the house? Or what is in your hand? Let me start by telling you that there is something in you that the whole world needs, or your family needs, or your community needs, or your church needs. It is your duty to find it, develop it, and give it a commercial value where necessary. Moses did not know that the shepherd's rod in his hand would be useful for the deliverance of the nation of Israel from slavery. Gideon did not know that his strength would be useful for the deliverance of Israel from the Midianites. David did not know that his experience as a shepherd will be required one day to deal with Goliath of Gath. Paul, that's Apostle Paul, did not know that inside of him, he had the divine grace for world evangelization. Instead, he channeled his strength to persecute or vex the church. Some of you who are students, you probably do not know that in your brain, it's a deposit that can liberate the world and your family. You are whiling away your time and associating with unserious people. Our text introduces us to a woman who had two sons. The woman was a widow. The husband left debts, a familiar circumstance in our communities today. The man was a prophet. Some women in our time will curse God and castigate the late husband, at least at the least provocation, by the sons. But that was not the case with this widow. Instead, she took her case to the authentic prophet of God. I deliberately said authentic because many false or fake prophets in our time have swindled widows and compounded their problems. Beware of such prophets. Some even take advantage of the vulnerable widows. If only such women will learn to run to God. Her two sons were to be taken into slavery since she could not pay the debt. But she ran to Elisha the prophet and cried for help. Elisha asked one important question. "What shall I do for you?" Without waiting for an answer, he asked the next one, "What do you have in the house?" This question is similar to the one asked Moses by the Almighty God. "What is in your hand?" Notice her answer. "Your maid has nothing in the house except a pot of oil." Her answer brings us to the first lesson we need to learn. Notice that God's contact point for supernatural supplies are always around you, but we hardly recognize them. Satan, our enemy, wants us to believe that what we need to turn our dreams into reality are the things we do not have. It is common to hear, "Oh, if only I had this, I will do that." The question you should ask yourself today is, what is in your hand? What do you have in the house? Let us apply what it could be that you have in the house. You have brain, right? You have physical strength. You have salvation. You are a child of God. You have talent. You love trading. You love buying and selling, right? You love singing. You can sing. You have the Holy Spirit. You can hear God, right? God wants you to start with what you have and not what you do not have. Therefore, today, cut off the if and start with what you have. Listen to me. God uses what you have to create what you want. In John chapter 6, verse 9, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was made possible because 5 loaves and 2 fishes were available. The young boy never knew that his 5 loaves and 2 fishes will be used to feed 5,000. Even the disciples said, "But what are they among many?" They never knew that the Lord can do with a small quantity of bread and fish when compared with 5,000 recipients. The internal truth is that with God, all things are possible. There is need for a mental transformation. You may need to collapse the not enough mentality. You will never have enough, but what we have contains the potential to get what we want if we bring the God of the supernatural power into it. I see very many magnificent church buildings all over. These buildings were not there before. The irony of life is that worshippers in such buildings look down on those still in small buildings. They mistakenly mock and laugh at them. Ironically, there is virtually no church that did not start small, most times in somebody's parlor. That small church building you are looking down has the potential for what you want. Given time and consistent work with God, you will arrive where others have arrived, if the Lord tarries. We should not always see things the way they are, but the way they could be. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6, Jonathan, Saul's son and David's friend, spoke on one of God's attributes. Hear him speak to his armor bearer. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." We are co-laborers or workmanship with God. You have the potential to create. Man creates furniture from trees. Electricity is generated from rivers. Cloth is gotten from wool of sheep. Transform your mind to begin to see solutions where others see problems. Where a loser sees an obstacle, a winner will see the seed of miracle. May God open your eyes of understanding. It is God that gives a winner mentality. When it comes to financial increase, the law of sowing and reaping applies. The harvest you want will always be inside the seed you have. If you do not consider the seed in your hand as containing potential harvest, you probably will look for a rickety seed and plant. You will reap little. What you want will always be inside what you have. Do not underestimate the potentials for wealth that abound around you. Radio friends, take steps to identify your own jar of oil. Do not underestimate what you have. The widow looked down on the jar of oil in her house and said, "Nothing is in the house." I pray that God will show you your pot of oil. I pray that the miracle working power of God will rest on something around you that contains the potential for your breakthrough. Like the rod of Moses, may God use your skill and profession to liberate many more from bondage. In Jesus' name, someone's good behavior will become his pot of oil. In Jesus' name, I will advise you to surrender your life to Jesus so that he can work in your life and through you. Prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you can turn our jar of oil into life-saving ventures. You can save us and our children. May you, Lord, help all my hearers as they rededicate their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.